Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive. It is full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner, the item that sees into the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So God, tonight again, we pray your word. Teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth. God, you said in Psalms, in 1 John 1:27, you said we have no need that any man teach us, because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the teaching. So we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that what we speak coming through our mouths will be coming from you in Jesus' name. God, cancel anything that's not from you. Allow us to hear your word, your truth, and hear your desires for us through your word. We cancel the assignment of the enemy, though he comes immediately to steal the word. You said that also in your word, that he comes immediately to steal the word. We cancel his assignment. We resist the devil, and he must flee. You said that also, God, in your word. So tonight, we resist him in faith. Satan, you got to go. You got to leave. You are not stealing this word. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. I decree that thing. I call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five close to you. Let them know you're glad to see them. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
All right. Let's bring, come on, y'all come on to the front. We don't bite. We've been proven to have. All right.
We got a reader tonight. Do we have a reader tonight? Oh, Dion Bonner. Okay.
All right.
We're going to let you read tonight, too. And I must admit, I don't have my regular Bible here tonight. We have been running all day.
Yes, we have.
And starting early in the morning. And so I need definitely the scriptures up there. Okay, anybody know where we left off? We're almost finished. It's been great, but we're almost finished with the book of Proverbs 31. We're talking about the virtuous woman, this mighty woman of God. And we have to, you know, factor in that at this time in the Old Testament, the women wasn't looked upon like much. But it's so powerful that God put this in the Bible for us to be able to read tonight to understand that women are a mighty part, very important part in the scheme of whole fabric of Christianity.
That's right.
And the Word of God, and also in our society, the women are very important.
Amen.
But on the other hand, I want to say this too. We have to keep everything balanced out, because I think we're losing that a little bit in our society, because women are stepping up now in so many different areas. But sometimes, I don't know, all the emotions and things women go through, sometimes they can get a little catty. and we have to remember, especially if we're married, that our husband is the head of the household, and we don't want to try to rule and reign over the head, especially if you got a Christian head, one that loves Jesus. And so we need to pray for our head and making sure that they're hearing from God, and stay that mighty man of God, right?
That's right.
I got a mighty man of God.
Well, he's the priest, the prophet, the king
of the
home.
I got a mighty man of God.
Well, I'll agree with that.
Okay.
You ain't going to have no problem with me on that one.
I know.
But that man of God, and not all men are men of God. All men are men, but not all men are men of God. He is the priest, the prophet, the king of the home. Priest, meaning that he ministers to the family, to the spouse, meaning the prophet. He is the one that gets the word from God for the family, and also the king, which is, he's in the rulership. But now, see, that can be taken in a caveman type of way of thinking, in that, well, he's the king, he can do what he wants. No, a good husband, a good man of God in the family especially, is going to take all consideration of all the information coming in to make that decision, because he's making the final decision over their family, or he'll delegate. You make the decision. I'm still in leadership. Doesn't mean I'm not in leadership just because you're making the decision, or for a period of time, like what we went through with the attack that I had on the enemy from the hospital, and and all that recovery that it took, you had to take over a lot of areas in our family and, of course, in the ministry as well, because I couldn't do what I was supposed to be doing. But God is good. He knows how to restore and to be able to recharge our spirits. So a good husband is not just somebody that's just some caveman ogre pulling his wife by the hair down the street. What he's a gentle man. And sometimes we call people gentlemen that are not gentlemen, but we should be gentlemen, and that's part of the process. And but he doesn't know everything. Many times the spouse, especially you married to a virtuous woman, that woman will get insight from God. And you have to do like I had to do. It took me years. I mean, you know, nobody taught me this. I had to learn that sometimes I need to shut up and just listen to her. Okay? And I'm not a weak man because I do that, but I think that we're wise. I mean, sometimes our children, 4, 5, 6 years old, came up with better ideas and more godly stuff than what we were talking about. Whoever comes up with the best idea, we're going to use it, okay? So we're not partial with that. And that's good leadership, because leadership is teamwork that makes the dream work, okay? And we know that. So we need everybody's input, not just one guy that's supposed to be some ogre or some woman that's supposed to be running everything. That's not how it goes. We need the team, because everybody is getting something from God all the time. Now, everything we receive doesn't come from God, but what we want to do is find out who's got the best thing for us to use and take that and use that in the leadership of the family or the church or business or whatever it is.
Yeah. Amen. So. Okay. That's great. Let's start with verse number 21, because we talked about that. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out to fill hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. So virtuous woman cares about other people. And then we went to Philippians. Oh, we never finished. Let's finish Philippians, because it's tied with this. Like I said, I don't have my Bible with my other notes. But go to Philippians. I think it's chapter number 2. Let me go. I got my other Bible that I keep here at the church, so let me look at that one and see if I can. It's 2:1, okay. I think. Yes, it's 2:1. So let's read that, because I said about this virtuous woman, she cares about other people. Think about it. She gets up, she prepares, you know, food or whatever for her maids, the people that's serving her,
that's good.
For her household. She's making sure that they're taken care of. And so she cares about other people. And I believe that we, because it says in the last days, men would be lovers of their money and lovers of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to fight that spirit of selfishness.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just thinking about me, myself, and I. And sometimes we think that we're not selfish, but the actions that we are displaying are selfish actions,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And we need to be like that, even in the church, you know, with your money, with your time, with your comfort of comforting other people. You know, there's scripture about that too, about that God will take you through things so that way you'll know how to comfort other people. So once again, it's talking about other people. And we have to look out for other people. And that's one thing I like about ministry, because ministry keeps me always looking, you know, caring about the, you know, the people in the congregation, and I'm looking outside of my, what I, you know, it's not all about me, it's about the people.
Yeah,
and that's what I love about, one thing about ministry, because it keeps you focused on God's people and the care for other people, and you're not caring just for yourself. And that motivates me to get up in the morning, get here on, you know, on Wednesday night, get here on Sunday. It really gets me going to say, hey, I get to, you know, be here and share the word of God that's going to help the people, to better the people. And I'll spend that time in the Lord and, you know, the sacrifices I have to make basically to get prepared and things like that, so I can bring it to the people, because we want to always have an attitude that we're not selfish. So this scripture right here, let's read the whole thing, because we keep stopping, but this is a good scripture. because here's a preacher talking here. And so go ahead, Dion, you can read that so that way we'll make sure you read tonight, because I think we've had you before and you didn't get to read at all. So go ahead and read if you would. Thank you.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Right. Go to the next one, next scripture.
Having the same love, being of one accord,
okay,
one mind.
Okay, go ahead to the, I wish you pulled it. Go to the next scripture, 4.
Look not every man on his own thing.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get, okay? Number 4, okay? Yeah, are you reading, what are you reading from?
King James.
New King James?
New King James.
Okay. Yeah. Let each of you look out. Is that what you have?
Look not every man on his
own
thing.
Reading a little
I think that's King James.
Oh, King James.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'll read out of the New King James. It says, let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I wanted to say.
And that's where I wanted to get to. Okay. I've been trying to get to this for maybe 3 Wednesdays
now. Well,
go
ahead and get to it.
No, but that's good. You need to share on it too. But I just wanted to get to that point because it's very clear. Let each of you, say that's me, okay, look out not only. So, yes, you need self-care. Because how can you care for someone else if you're not taking care of yourself?
Right.
Okay? And I know when you were going through that situation, I had to find ways to take care of me because I was taking care of him.
Yeah, you did. And
you
needed
to. Help, to help you come back. Mm-hmm. And so I had to find ways that was ministering to me to make sure I was taken care of because, and I know I've talked to him, looking at Mrs. Tony on the front row. We talked about the same thing, and I was concerned for her because, you know, she took care of father's business, gone for months. And I said, you have to make sure you take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, it's hard to help take care of other people. And really, so it's very important. And also, you need to have some interests, you know, things for yourself, too. There's nothing wrong with that. Things that you enjoy, hobbies and things like that. And then that way you can express that to other people. But it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to become more like that, but also for the interest of others. I love that.
You know, I heard you say people, 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 people 4 times. And you said we have to look out for the people. We got to be thinking about the people. We got to think. And in the midst of the people is a person. And so the person can sometimes feel like they're not really looking out at me, looking at me specifically, because we have to look pluralistically at what is happening. So it's not just the individual that we have to have an interest in being able to take care of, but what's good for the whole group. Okay. And a lot of times people are not ready to yield. I'll use a very simple example. We come to church and we didn't receive anything that day that was that great. Well, there were a lot of other people there besides you that had needs. The Spirit of God is ministering to so many people. It's amazing how so many people can come into a service. Even when, you know, we got an okay crowd tonight, but it's not, you know, there's sometimes hundreds of thousands of people that are hearing from one man of God or woman of God ministering the Word of God through television or through crusades or whatever, and they all feel like they had their needs met. So we have to get to the point where we're not thinking that I'm the only one that you should be taking care of. No, we have to make, as leaders in the church, pastors in ministry, that what decisions we're making is good for the entire group. But most of all, God's will is being done. Not just what I wanted is what, oh no, man, you didn't do what I wanted. I'm sorry, but we're trying to be able to make sure everyone's needs are met. And that's what I think you were really saying when you said, we pray, we got to concern ourselves with the people, we got to make decisions for the people, 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 people. But in the middle of that is a person that need to have their needs met as well.
Yes, and also that, of course, there's nothing wrong with having your needs met. I mean,
and that's the people in there.
That's the person in there. Right. And this, if we go to, and I'm going to read this out, the Amplified that I have here. It says in verse number four, it says, let the same attitude, say attitude, and purpose, say purpose, and humble mind be in you. So this is an attitude that we have to have. This is an attitude, and that's why even our teachers that's taking care of the kids doing the regular service, they have, that's a heart saying, I'm caring about these children and their interests, because right now, you know, I can't be in service, but I'm caring for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that's so beautiful about that inputting into the lives of children is that you don't know who's sitting in front of you.
Oh, man.
You know, and what God's going to do to those children, you know, in their lives.
Oh, it's funny.
And you have a part of that, you know, because I can remember back when I was in Sunday school and the things I've learned and the teachers I've had over the years. So it says, let this same attitude, I like that, or and purpose and humble mind be in you, which, and it takes a humble mind, mm-hmm. humility, be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Mm. And we know that even God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so part of being a Christian is just living to give. And we should look for ways to give, to be a blessing to other people.
But, you know, I think it's not just giving. Okay. When people give to you, you should be thankful.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2.
And that's true, because go back to that scripture where it says, not just your own interests. Not just your own interests. Yes. See, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. It's not that you shouldn't have any.
Not only, but include yours with everybody else.
Include yours with everybody else.
And that's what I'm saying.
And that's what you're
saying. People. Yeah. We should be concerning ourselves with people, but we're part of the people. God's going to take care of you if you help take care of his people.
And it's okay to have interest.
And this is what the church is all about.
Yeah.
Is we're serving, but we're receiving at the same time. When we come into church, we serve other people, but we're also receiving at the same time. You know, we're giving and we're receiving. We're giving and receiving. Every joint supplies. If you're part of the body of Christ, you should do your supply. Mm-hmm. And I believe the body of Christ is the richest group of people on the planet. And the reason is because not only do they have educational skills, certain bents about their life where they're good at this or good at that, but now they also have the anointing of God on them. So that whatever they can do becomes supernatural, because God puts super on what is natural for them to do, which is a gifting from God. And it's just the church is the richest, because we are only here for people. We're not here for this building. We are here to minister to people. What is important to us is people. When you give to this church, you're giving to bless people. That's what you're doing. Yeah, and you're part of the people. You're part of those people. But what we see in the last days, how we know it's the last days, is that selfishness is the rule of the day. And here it is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 1. It starts right here. I'm going to go quickly on this because I know you need to get back to Philippians and back over to Proverbs, okay? Okay, we're going to go back to Proverbs then. It says, but this know. In other words, don't be ignorant of this. We should all, as believers, know this, that in the last days, perilous, those are dangerous. In the last days, you will know it's the last days because perilous or dangerous times will come. We see it every day. Something new, a shooting here, a stabbing there, an explosion here. Dangerous times in those days. Now, the whole day is not dangerous, but there's times in each one of those days, depending on where you are, it can be dangerous. You just wanted to go to the library, but all of a sudden somebody started doing something in the parking lot of the library, and you didn't know that was going to happen. You showed up, and boom, there it was. There's perilous times, dangerous times in those last days. We are in those days. It's unpredictable. You cannot predict what's going to happen tomorrow. You cannot tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea. This is the reason why we're going to have Jesus in the park, because we want to pray for our children that are going to school. We want to pray for our grandchildren going to school. We want to pray for the teachers. My daughter's a teacher. I want to pray for the teachers that are teaching in those schools. Now, who would have thought that we'd have to do that with schools, of all things? But we're in the last days, so there's dangerous times in those days. Not every day is dangerous, and not all the times in the day is dangerous. It depends on where you are. So, but know this. Don't be ignorant of this. Don't put your head in the sand. And this one, people, I don't watch the news. Well, that's because you don't want to watch and pray. Because you should know what's going on in your country so you can pray God's will to be done instead of the enemy's.
Actually, when God brings things to you, that's the first thing we should do. And God will bring things right. like that to you. When you see things, when ambulance, they go by.
Because I've been in one, so I've been in ambulance.
And you pray all
the time. In fact,
the
second time I went to the hospital, they said, don't wait for the ambulance. It's too serious. Just get in the car and get to the hospital. It's that important. So when I see an ambulance, my heart goes out to people because I know what it's like to, you're just starting. You're going to have to go into surgery or something's happening. They ain't got those lights and sirens. They ain't just to be able to go to eat dinner somewhere. They are trying to get to the hospital with somebody that's in the back of that thing, or they're going to pick them up because there's something very serious. And why not us believers pray for them? You saw them go by. I mean, don't just move to the side, but say a prayer for the people. You don't know who they are, but that's okay. You can pray for them.
You know, one time.
Because we care about people.
We care about people. It's a story I want to tell you that you can help me tell the story. We were in a Bible bookstore, and a lady came up to us. Were you with me?
Finish the story.
Anyway, so she came up to me, and she said, will you pray for my uncle or something that? And she said, because, and she knew us from television. This is many years ago. We've been on television a lot of years now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and so, and then she said, because I went to another pastor's wife, and she told me, I asked her to pray for my uncle because he had some kind of sickness or something. And she said, I went to her and I asked her if she would pray for me. And she said, look, I got enough stuff on my own plate. I don't have time to pray for you. I'm praying for all the things that I need to pray about. And she didn't say her name or anything. But so I said, yeah, sure, I'll pray, you know. And if I can, I like to pray right there on the spot. If not, then, you know, we pray later on. But we have to make sure that we are available for whenever God wants to use us to help care for people, you know. And that's why we need self-care, too, so we can be available and not just looking at our own needs, our own, you know, desires and all that kind of stuff, but looking at the needs and the desires of other people, because that's the heart of God. And that's a sign of humility when you care about other people. So I don't know if you had anything else.
Okay, the Spirit of the Lord just triggered in me
a song. We can go back to Proverbs.
We're going to listen.
We're not going to read it, but let's go back to Proverbs.
Let me just say this. The Spirit of the Lord just now just triggered a song in me that we're going to listen to that's about this. Because, see, we're so self-centered, and we don't realize that if we don't go, who's going to go? Who is going to go? If we don't pray, who's going to pray? The atheist can't pray. The agnostic cannot pray. They don't know how to pray. Yeah. We just experienced with one of our congregation members being in the hospital, and at one point, completely unconscious. I walked in, and one eye was open, and there was no life in that eye. And she's doing fine now. But one eye was open, and there was no life in the eye. And I thought about one of the songs that she would sing, He is Faithful. And in that song it says, when I could not pray, when I could not pray, you were still faithful. And I used to take that, well, you didn't want to pray. Well, I could not pray because I was so messed up in things out in the world. No.
Or I would not pray.
Or I would not pray. But we talked about it. But it was at that time, the Lord showed me she can't pray. She could not pray. And so we prayed for her. I pray none of us get to that point where we cannot pray. We literally, you're out. She was out. She was just, she was out. She was unconscious. And we talked to her. She couldn't hear us. She couldn't respond. She's doing great now, but she couldn't do it. And then there was another time where she had a tube down her throat. And we've had other members that have tubes in their down their throat. They can't pray right then. I mean, they really can't, and they're sedated out. We need to be there. And Spirit Lord's telling me to play this song right now. Okay? Now, I'm going to play it right now. Now, this is a song called Who Will Go. These songs are just, sometimes they just drop on me. Do I have Tron? That's our Bluetooth here. Let me make sure I've got Tron, because you don't have this song. I haven't given it to you yet. No, I don't have Tron because I don't have my Bluetooth on. And, you know, this is Wednesday night, so let me take the time to do what I got to do, because I want to be, because see, I believe music can sometimes say what I can't. Even by the instruments, you can hear. I love the oboe, I love the French horn, I love strings, I love to hear. And to me, they tell a story sometimes, a cry. You know, sometimes the French horn and the oboe to me sounds like sheep calling out to God. And it's just beautiful to me. Now, you know, nobody else feels that way, but I do. Anyhow, so this is a song. I want us to listen to the whole thing. And do you have it? Bring it up.
The fear.
on, give God praise. The song ends by saying, will you go? Who will go? So we've got to go. We've got to go. We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of these four walls and go.
There's a scripture in Matthew that goes, because that was scripture.
That's right. They're singing scripture.
Yeah. So go to Matthew.
That's Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, by the way.
Go to Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number, let's see here. Verse number 37. 9:37, and then we'll get back to Proverbs. Yes. Then he, speaking of Jesus, said to his disciples, you guys can read it with me. The harvest, just read it up there. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So who are the laborers?
Us.
We are.
If we don't do it, nobody will.
Yeah, and so when we say, well, nobody don't want Jesus, that's not true. Because see, that scripture is eternal. So the harvest is always going to be plentiful.
That's right.
So we can't say that, well, nobody wants Jesus. You know, I've talked to 10 of my friends, and they don't know what. There's someone. Maybe talk to the 11th one, you know, and that'll be the one that wants Jesus.
Right.
And so then it says, very interesting, because I was just reading the scripture, I think about 2 days ago in my prayer time, and in verse 38, I love this, and the Lord, he reminded me. It says, so pray. This is what we're supposed to do. So pray the Lord of the harvest.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest is what it's saying.
Yeah.
Who is Jesus.
To send out laborers into his harvest. So there's times where I've even prayed for people, you know, relatives and people in other states. And I'll pray, so Lord, send a laborer that person.
Somebody at work.
So you guys need to pray that, you know. And some of this is new information for some of you. So you can pray, and then even people you can't reach, maybe family members or close friends you can't reach, you can pray and ask God, because he said pray. So pray, Lord, send a laborer.
Send
a strong Christian
to talk to them.
To that person. Because it doesn't matter, and then that goes back to one plants and another water. But God is the one that
gives the increase when he wants to give the increase. We can't. We cannot predict when he's going to, you know, because for many years I see this with the congregation. A lot of times there's visitors that come, and then some people will come forward and they'll receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And maybe they came with a relative that goes to the church or somebody that knows them. And they'll come after service to talk to us and say, I've been praying for him for 15 years to get saved. And see, all of those prayers culminated in one service. It wasn't me. You were preaching, pastor, and one plants another water. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. I didn't give the increase. God gives the increase. You didn't give the increase. Well, I brought them to the church. Well, you know, they prayed for this person for 14 and a half years before you brought them. Okay? So there's a lot of people that will receive, as it were, a reward for ministering. But we all have our part to do. There we go again. As each joint supplies. And so you got to be sensitive enough. Like, you know, I had to be sensitive enough to play this song right when he said. He said, not at the end of the service. Play it now. Because that's the anointing. That's where the anointing is. And I know
it was a perfect song for
what we were talking about. And see, and we have to be led by the Spirit of God, not led by our own flesh or our own traditions or what we normally do or how we normally do things. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. And if he's saying to do something, trust him. Develop the relationship to where you can trust him. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about even, you know, if you're flying out of town and you got a choice of flights. I mean, you know, there's one that leaves at 1:30, one that leaves at 4:23, and another one leaves at 6:26. Pray. Lord, which flight should I be on? Because sometimes we're talking about mechanical machines and people in the front seats, left and right, that we have to pray that it all goes well there. You know? Okay, I'll do that. He said, talk to you about this turbulence lately. Because some of you are scared to fly now. Because you heard about turbulence. 25 people went to the hospital because of what is called CAT, or clear air turbulence. You're in clear air. But you got to look at the ocean. The air up in the sky is like the ocean down below. There are some places where there are actually you know, whirlwinds in the water, and you've got to avoid that in a boat. There are ebbs and lows and highs, and sometimes mountain waves. God wants me to get some fear out of you. Mountain wave that happens in these mountains over here. If you see Mount Rainier with a lens looking cloud, a cloud that looks like a lens that you would put, like, for example, your contact lenses in your eye, you see something like that, that's telling you that mountain is making its own weather. And you can't go up there and say, do-de-do, let's go fly around Mount Rainier now and see the mountain. That is not the day to do it. Even the Native Americans had a name for it. I can't remember what the name is. They knew you're crazy to go up on that mountain today. Because the way the winds are going, that wind can go 200 miles away from there, burbling for 200 miles and affect you. So you need to pray. Because, yes, we've got the science together and all the National Weather Service and all the other guys that do all that stuff, and they're going to try to predict where we should go and how high the turbulence is. But there's sometimes when you just need to keep your seatbelt on and pray. And let me just tell you the practical. Keep your seatbelt on, because you can't hit your head on that luggage thing above you and hurt yourself. So just always keep your seatbelt on. Even if it's on loosely, you won't go that high. Because if that plane dives like that, you're going to hurt yourself. And that way, you are, at least you're doing the practical along with praying. Because you hear people say, I think it's going to crash. I think it's going to shut your mouth. Yeah. You need to be praying, okay? I'm just trying to take a lot of fear out of people, because people are getting a little scared because we're having several incidences of this turbulence kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's because of the weather or, you know, what's going on with some of the things that's happening in the atmosphere above. I don't know. But I do know that what we need, and it might be that there's just more reporting of this stuff. Yeah. But you don't need to live in fear over that either. And help one another. Help them to not live in fear. Help them to be able to know that the harvest is plenteous. Labor is a few. Get out there and work. It may take some time. And it's work. What we do is work. What everybody does is
work of the ministry.
That's right.
And people don't like that word. And you know, one thing in the things of God, you never retire. Now, you may retire from your job. You mm-hmm. put in 30 years, 40 years, or whatever. But in the kingdom of God, we should have a mentality that this is life. Till the Lord receives us home. This is a commitment to God for life. So it doesn't matter if you're 80 years old, 89 years old.
We were just listening to a teaching from our father in the faith, Apostle Frederick K.C. Price. They still have those out there. We were just listening to a teaching where he said, I will never retire. And he never did. He kept working and working and working. I think it was 80
something. Not in the things of God. We have to.
You can
have
retire from the world, but you don't retire from the kingdom.
Yeah.
You can. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're called, you can't retire. Mm-hmm. I couldn't retire. I was still called. I'm back. So the calling didn't go away just because I was attacked by
them. And let me say this, too, because we've seen this over the years, too. I said, oh, no, this will take us. Let's not go too far this way. But I have to say this, okay, because it's coming in my spirit, and I haven't said this in years. But we have to be careful, too, because we've seen people use this church, and maybe they do other churches like that, too, a Good Word church. And they'll run and raise their children here. And once their kids graduate, then they're out the door. We're retiring from the church now because our children, you know, we did the, you know, we saw them through the hard years, kept them in church. And now we don't need the church now because they're off to college or, you know, on their own now. And so now
retire from their marriage,
Now it's time to get the camper, the big,
house
on wheels, and just go from state to state, and we have to remember that we are
laborers.
See, we're laborers.
The Spirit of the Lord just told me you're not executives.
Oh, which are servers.
We're not executives.
We're servers.
we're laborers. Yeah. You know what a laborer is?
Oh, yeah, that's,
shovel?
That's good.
He just said, you're not executives.
That's good.
Okay. So we can't think of ourselves, we're going to sit in the big office and we're going to make sure everybody is working. No, get your rump out there and do some work.
Yeah. Okay.
We're all workers. We're all laborers, even though the executive is working in his office. But
yeah, because we're ambassadors too. So, we have work to do.
But
so we have all these titles, but we are servers, really.
That's right. We have to serve.
So we have to serve. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 31, and you can continue to read, Dion.
What verse you want to start at?
21.
She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple.
Okay, so she takes care of herself. She's looking good. She's keeping up, you know, herself, and she likes the fine things in life. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to have a poverty kind of thinking like that.
Yeah, I know.
Fine linen and purple. I love it. Purple is a color of royalty.
Yeah.
And we have to remember we're part of the kingdom of God.
And some people get uncomfortable with that. Sometimes people that have done very well in life, they feel really bad with allowing themselves to be able to be looked at as someone that's well off. But in the kingdom of God, you're not showing off yourself. You're showing how good God is.
Yeah, we have to remember that we are in this world, we're a light. In fact, my husband have gotten so many lights in our yard now. And so as soon as we're in the end of a cul-de-sac,
I want it to look like a runway.
And it looks like more than a runway. But it's really
nice. I got it's the blue taxi lights.
It's really nice. And I think I said, you're gonna draw attention to, you know, people want to come. It's like Christmas lights, you know, almost how people want to drive around and say, look at that house, you know. But we are, and I thought about this and I said this to you, we are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, in that scripture says, that men should see our good works.
Yeah.
So they should see something.
And so you
so
cannot
that means
be
we
afraid
should be
of people
doing
seeing.
Something.
You can't
right?
be afraid of that. And you can't be afraid of that more and more and more and more people are starting to see your good works.
Why,
you're
though?
All of a sudden becoming famous.
Why? You know why?
That's because, not a sin.
No, because men should see your good works so they can glorify God.
Not to glorify us.
And the bigger our platform, even in your arena of life, you know, the bigger your platform, the more we have a platform to talk about Jesus. We just have to remember to talk about Jesus when we do that. So the more that we have, the more that God allows us to have, the more, you know, it's more attention that God can receive. And so we have to keep that.
Yeah, I want to say this, talking about Jesus, though. Mm-hmm. But the Bible teaches in Proverbs, we won't go there, first chapter or so, that to the simple, we're to be subtle with them. And when we say, you should talk about Jesus, people think they got to pull out John 3:16 and say, now sit down, everybody. Amen. And I'm going to, you're at the office, right?
Here's my Bible.
And I want you to know that, praise the Lord, that we are supposed to be Christians up in here. No. The Bible says to the simple, the people that just don't get it yet, be subtle. Give them simple little things that they can digest. Don't try to beat them over the head with your 15-pound Bible.
Well, sort of like
they're not ready for that. Okay? Feed them. They're not even babes yet. And even with babes, you got to feed them milk, and you got to take a little spoon and go,
but they're not even on solid food yet, the Bible
says. They will be. They grow up, and they get really hungry when they grow up. That's right. So we have to, and that causes a lot of us to be fearful. Like, what am I going to say? I don't have a sermon for them. You don't need a sermon.
Well, I don't know,
the best
I don't
thing
know
to
enough
share,
scriptures.
The best, yeah. I haven't studied
the
enough.
The quote,
The best thing you can tell them is what happened to you. I got born again, man. I was a mess. This was happening to me. And you know, I use this sickness thing with anybody. You know, you stand there long enough, you're going to hear about it. I'm preaching it to everybody. I don't care who you are. You can be the policeman standing on the corner. Guess what happened to me? And it was 6.5 years. It was 6.5 years of hell. And I'm back.
You should use that next time you get a traffic ticket.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember when the cop stopped us. Cop stopped us and saw us on TV and said, pass the shawty.
Did you guys hear what I just said? I said, you can use your story about your healing next time the police stop you on 112th Street
stop
on
it.
Your way to church.
Stop it.
For
on a Wednesday
ticket.
Night, and we were late. And I looked at him and said, I'm on my way to church. He said, okay, good. Let me write this ticket. Okay. Wait, I'll just send it to my attorney.
Rookie.
We'll see what happens. Okay. Man, I couldn't get out of that one, but you remember the one on 512, not 112, on 512, pulled up. Hispanic brother, he walked in and said, pass this yawner now, come on. Oh, I remember, there was another one on 167.
Yeah, I remember
that one. That was about 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. And he walked up and said, now pass this yawner, you know you were going too fast.
And you go, yes.
I know, but I ain't gonna give you a ticket, just go home, be safe, okay? I said, thank you, I sure will. I appreciate you being out here. We praying for you. But you know, It's a blessing to be able to be a witness wherever you are. We're working in the kingdom, and it may not seem like work at the time, but it is. It's the work of the ministry, because the harvest is plenteous,
and you know,
and the laborers are few.
I just thought about it. We need to use whatever we need to use that's a testimony.
That's what you can talk about.
And now
that's
sometimes
subtle.
We throw in, we've been married, we did it today.
Oh,
and I said, why are you doing this? You know, but it has blessed so many people today. We were going around in different booths and stuff, and he was, because we were
at a convention
today.
Here in Tacoma.
And so it's a convention that's in town for pilots. And so anyway, so we're there, you know, getting things for future aviators. And so he's going around, and he ended up saying, and we've been married for 51
and
years.
And we had our celebration right here in this hotel.
One lady said, I got to come and hug you, get some of that anointing.
Another one said, I need a picture. Let me get a picture, y'all. 51 years.
And so, you know,
you can use anything you can. But
you can use everything you can that's a testimony that God has given to you to bless other people, because they're going to be able to receive it.
Don't use your challenges. See, don't say, well, I'm suffering for God right now. No, because you're not done with the test. You don't get the testimony until you get done with the test. So finish the test. Now you can talk about it. Just keep using your faith until it's over. Once it's over, you got the victory. I mean, just keep going. And don't talk about what's not done yet. Because God is going to give you the victory, and that'll become another testimony. In fact, when I first started the ministry, I wrote all kinds of different victories we had. I used to pull it up out of my notes. Okay, the Lord's like, talk about that one now. Because God has brought all of us through so many things. We can give a testimony, and that's subtle. Because people want to hear about people.
Yeah.
They want to hear about people's lives. And
that's
God
why
is
those
in your
magazines
life.
Are sort of popular.
That's right.
You know?
Well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. I won't name them.
Okay.
You know, on the counter when you go shopping, you know. Because people want to know about other people. They just want to know.
Yeah, they do.
And so,
people
anyway, they want to know about you, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back
but
to
people
Proverbs.
Everywhere, like the song said, need Jesus.
Then they need Jesus. So don't count anyone out.
Nobody.
Everyone is a customer for the Lord, okay? Could become born again. So.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to Proverbs 31. We're almost finished. Yes.
Well, we got a couple minutes left.
Go ahead, Dion, and read again.
Okay. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come.
Okay, you want to stop?
You know,
let's
think what I'm going to is what you read prior to the first, the one that you had
her
before.
Husband is known in the
no,
gate.
The one no. prior to that, she was reading about that she's not afraid of the snow. She ain't living in fear because she's a preparer. She sees ahead, and she prepared that family with clothing, mm-hmm. not just herself with the fine linen and the purple, but she prepared the whole family. So she's not, you know, you get the forecast, it's going to be 6 inches of snow tomorrow, and you might not be able to go to the store and buy some food. She's not concerned because she's already prepared the household. That's the kind of woman she is. She is a virtuous woman. She is a woman that looks ahead and is making sure everything is, so she's not, her family is not living in fear. And then, I'm a husband, and her husband is known in the gates. That's fame. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because Jesus had fame, and if he had fame and it's not right, he sinned. We need to be known in this Northwest for the Word of God. Yeah. People need to know when they're finally ready to make a change where you can go. Now, I would put a picture of Jesus up, but Jesus is not going to be here in the flesh, because the picture, they couldn't come and see the same person, because Jesus is in you and in me. So we're going to have somebody that's got Jesus in them to represent Jesus. So I don't have a problem with, because we got a lot of people that feel like, well, why you got to have your picture out there on 112th Street? Yeah, because Jesus is in me. On the pastor of the church, when you come in here, you're going to hear from me, so you might as well get used to seeing me and her, because you ain't seeing us anyhow. I prayed. Go to 1 John 1:27. I prayed before this. 1 John 2:27. Just put it up on the board. 1 John. Okay, we're having fun. Because, see, you have never heard from me when it comes to God giving you the word. You've heard from God. If you got the word here, you didn't hear from any of the other ministers at this church. You actually heard from God, because it is the anointing that you're hearing. If it's God talking. Now, I know you got quiet because you don't believe that anyhow, but that's all right. I still love you. Don't worry about it. We ain't having a falling out over this. Okay? Is it 127? Is that what I said? 227, 1 John, I'm not even there. I'm at St. John. No, wait, let me catch up with all you folks. You're so be sharp. 1 John 2 and 27. Now, this is an important scripture for us to think about. And I'm sliding toward this thing about being able to receive from the man of God and the woman of God. You should trust your man and woman of God, because God sent you here. I didn't send you here. How many know God sent them to this church? Put your hand up, okay? When God talked to you, he ain't talked to me. Because I didn't know who you was. You just came through the door. I didn't know who you was, unless your relatives. I didn't know who you were. And so you have to trust that God sent you to the right place. Just like God sent you here, he can send you somewhere else. I'm not going to stop you. I don't make you come here, and I don't make you stay here. But you're stupid to leave if God sent you here until you know where you're supposed to be going. And nobody should tell you where to go. Because usually they don't even know where they should be going. Now, I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I got to give an account for sheep. I'm a set man. God used me to set this church in order. From the living room with my daughters and my two daughters and my wife to where we are now. Affecting the entire Pacific Northwest, Canada, and parts of Oregon. With what we do with our broadcasts. And pretty soon, just around the world. Okay? It's around the world by live stream, but it's not the same broadcast. It's a live stream, but it's not a broadcast where it's broadcasted to the masses. The masses could tune it in. It says, but I'm not doing this. Now, why would I quit being on secular television to go to Christian television that doesn't get as much audience if I really am stuck on myself? I'd have stayed with ABC and affiliates. I would have stayed with the number one music station in Seattle. I would have stayed with the secular world. But God called me to the body of Christ. Even before I went to the secular world, I knew it was called to the ministry before I actually went to work full time in advertising and television and radio. So I'm not here. I'm speaking of me. I can't speak for everybody else. I'm speaking for me. So because I'm trying to free you up to be able to say, he ain't doing it for self-serving reasons. We started talking about people, people, people. I'm doing it for the people, because God has put me here for the people, not for myself. Because if I really wanted to stay in something that would give me quote unquote fame, I stayed in secular. Because there's more heathens than there are Christians. And most of the Christians are watching the heathen television anyhow. Y'all watch all the channels. You don't just watch Christian television. Duh. You think I'm that stupid? We know that. We try to get you sometimes to watch Christian television. And you don't have to just watch Christian television. But all I'm saying is that it says, but the anointing which you have received from him. Underline him, because that's Jesus Christ. That's God the Father giving us the anointing. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. To where nothing else will work. You done took all the costs up you can. You can't get rid of that cold. Your leg just won't heal. You broke it, but it won't come. It's not gluing back together. You can't get a job. You can't buy a job. That's when the anointing's supposed to kick in. It removes that burden.
You even need the anointing to get out of debt.
That's right.
Tried and tried.
Paid them bills.
You start relying on the Holy Spirit, he'll show you.
And let me just say that there's something going on right now in the body of Christ, and I got to warn you as a pastor. I don't have all the details. But there are certain Christians that are coming together to tell you that they know how to help you to invest your money into stocks, bonds, real estate, and some of the other hedge funds and that kind of stuff. You need to be careful. You're asking people to give or to commit to a minimum of $19,000 in some instances. That they will help you to know how to pay it back. Now, maybe they are godly, but you got to watch this stuff. I have a pastor friend of mine that one of the congregation members is in this church right now that went to jail out of Seattle over this kind of stuff. Taking people's money, talking about you're going to help them get rich. First of all, you shouldn't want to get rich quick. We'll pay the building off. You don't have to go into debt for us. We're trying to get the church out of debt. We don't need you to borrow money or make a commitment from these people. And maybe they're well-meaning, they're Christians, and they're big-name people. At least that's who they advertise. But I ain't impressed with nobody. I'm a pastor. I'm warning you, don't go and make a commitment for $19,000. That's the lowest amount. About $30,000 is the mid amount. And $50,000 is what I'm being told by those that are involved with this, that you got to invest into this thing. And I said, did you run it by your attorney? No. I said, did they give you anything from the Securities and Exchange Commission? Did they give you a circular? Did they give you prospectus? Did they give you anything? No. You have to be careful. Now, this person may make a gazillion dollars, but they may lose their shirt too. Because we have to watch this stuff, because the devil likes to prey on Christians. I didn't give you no names. I didn't give you no company name. I gave you a scenario, but you have to watch this, because it's not been going on long enough, but they're using big name Christians to be able to entice believers. And here's the part that I can't stand. They meet a lot of times on Sundays. Well, you got to fly out of town to go there. You got to miss your church service in order to go to their meetings where they're going to tell you how to get rich. I rest my case. I'm warning you, you need to be careful, because there's been people that had to sue pastors that took money like this, put it in their pocket, I don't know what this is, but they were involved with a Ponzi scheme. And one of them was my buddy, the church that we visited before we started this church. We went to his church, because we attended the same church. We went to his church, and the next week we started this church, because we were buddies in the church that we both came out of. He went to jail for that kind of thing. And he's a nice man. He didn't mean to do anything. He repented of it. He's a good man. He's doing good things now. But he got caught up in trying to get this money. And you can't do that. And I'm not saying that's what this is. And you don't even know who I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, if somebody come whispering in your ears, you can make $100,000 by next month and pay me off back. You know, every day, I could show you on this phone, every day, 5 to 10 people either call me or text me to tell me they'll give me $200,000. You can be able to borrow right now 50,000. My credit rating is so high. We don't have no bills. We have to go and get a credit card to be able to make sure we can still get our rating up or keep our rating up because we don't have any bills. So I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to say you. And if somebody gives you a gazillion dollars, pay the church off, okay? That's the first thing. Yeah. Pay your tithes, give an offering, pay the church off so we can stop paying all this money, these thousands of dollars every month in interest, which is stupid. You know, it's just what's happening. But I'm just saying, you got to watch this. You got to, and it hurts me because these are good, God-loving people that have made these commitments and are putting this money into this thing. And I got to warn you because I don't want nobody else in this congregation to get involved with this kind of foolishness unless, and I'm calling it foolishness, but I don't know. It may be the best thing since I don't know everything. You know the tree by the fruit it bears. Let's give it some time. And maybe the whole body of Christ can get debt free off of something like this. Okay? I don't know. But I am saying be careful. It seems too easy to do. And of course, hedge funds, you can make billions.
Anytime, we have to be careful of this thing, though.
Okay, here goes the prophet now.
No, well.
I'll be with some insight.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, and we wouldn't even tell you to do this. We desire this building. We believe it's paid off by faith in Jesus' name. But we're not going to go tell you to borrow money. Everybody need to borrow money in this church to pay off
this building.
We
would not say that.
We wouldn't do that. So you have to be a little, you know, just a little. See, we have to watch and pray. So we have to be a little vigilant of any kind of group is telling you to go borrow money, you know,
You can leverage to be able to go into business, okay?
Yeah, leverage.
If you're buying real
estate,
whatever, you can be, you know, we've done it. Everybody does it. I mean, you know,
leveraging
one of the best write-offs you can have.
That?
Warren, I'm gonna get.
It's
into,
a little different from
Warren
this,
Buffett, who just came out just 2 days ago, who is a very, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but anyhow, he's very, very wealthy, and he's a businessman. And he said the best investment advice he has right now is to buy houses, rent them out, buy them on 30-year mortgages and rent them out. I don't know if that's good or not. We've done it. I was flipping houses before they were flipping houses. So we've done that. And one of the best write-offs you can have is because the government wants you to help to supply housing for people. So they will give you tax write-offs for owning property that you don't live in that you can help to provide somebody else a house at a reasonable price to live in because it helps the whole country. Okay, so they give you write-offs for that. So you can be writing off your taxes for years and never really pay any taxes if you had rentals that you're fixing up and you paid $200,000 for it, and that's now worth $300,000, and somebody's paying you $2,000 a month for that place. It only costs you $1,500 a month. You put $500 in your pocket. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You might even borrow $50,000 on the house and have them make the payments for it because they're paying enough to be able to include the payments too. And that's not taxable money because it's borrowed money. That's real estate, but I don't know about all this other stuff. I'm trying to help you all because people are going to be asking questions after this. You're going to be asking questions because this thing is going to go bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's a lot of Christian things that's happening like this. Invest in this, give us $5,000, and we'll make sure your marriage is going to work. Stuff is working like this. I'm seeing it all the time now. You got to watch it. And it goes in waves, okay? You know, we ain't paying no $5,000, but we've been 51 years. We went through our hell and everything else, but praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, maybe we should have paid $5,000. Maybe we wouldn't. Anyhow, all I'm saying, be careful, be prayerful. But the anointing, which you have received of him, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you.
Now, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And he's in us.
If you're born again. If you're not, you don't have.
Right. And to teach us. So that's why I say that we should pray before you come to church Sunday, Wednesday night, whenever we have service. Pray that, Lord, and this is what I pray over the congregation. Lord, help me to hear your voice tonight through your word. Help me to hear your voice because we want to hear God's voice. Because one idea or one word from the Lord can deliver you from something. One word from God can change the course what one way you're going this way, and then the Lord will speak something to you and show you something, and then you'll turn around like you were, I think you were preaching about that Sunday,
yeah.
That sometimes we need to make a turn.
Right.
And he'll tell you something. So we need to hear from God's voice.
But now,
you know,
I want to deal with the man here. It says, you have no need that any man teach you. Well, then why is Pastor Shorter and Mrs. Shorter up here tonight? They're men, they're women, they're people. Because if we yield to the Holy Spirit while we're here, you aren't hearing from us. You're hearing from the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't believe that, you won't get what you need out of this ministry. Because you'll be saying, he just telling him what he wants to do. No, no, he's not doing that. The Holy Spirit is guiding us. Just like I played that song. I felt awkward playing the song. But I believe it ministered to many of us. People everywhere need Jesus.
Well, that's what it says. Train up a child in the way they should go. Not the way you would want them to go. And the way they should go is according to the word of God. And that's why it's important to get into the word yourself so you know how to train up your
children.
We're
out of time.
Yeah.
We're way over time.
Okay. Praise God. Come on, put your hands together and bless
tonight?
The Lord.
Thank you, Dion, for reading tonight. Thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you for watching on
I want you to repeat after me. Say, God.
God.
I pray by your anointing, your Holy Spirit, to teach me. Every time I read the Bible,
every time
I attend church,
as I hear the preachers
preach and teach the word,
I ask
that you open up the mystery of the gospel to me,
gospel.
To help me to understand what you want me to do, and your word, and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.